Am I My Brother's Keeper has been recalled and quoted by folks for many years. But who originally said this, and why was such a question asked? The answer is found in the Bible, in the book of Genesis, chapter 4, verses 8 through 18. We will hear about this as Brother David Johnson continues his series of sermons on the first part of the book of Genesis. You are listening to the Words of Life program, sponsored by Churches of Christ and other dedicated believers. We now worship our Lord with song. Please pray with me. Holy Father, we bow before you with thanksgiving for the great love that you have for us. We are thankful for your word and that it's true and reliable, giving us information about you and assurance for salvation. Please use the words of this program to accomplish your will and reach souls for you. Lord, some of our listeners are troubled with health problems and others are discouraged. Provide them with the health and peace that are needed. We also ask that we will be ready when Jesus calls us to himself. In the name of Jesus, amen. Brother David Johnson will now speak to us about the question, Am I My Brother's Keeper?
It's good to be together again as we look into the Word of God. The title for the lesson is, Am I My Brother's Keeper? And our primary text is taken from Genesis chapter 4, verses 8 through 16, which we'll get to in the body of the lesson. Eve's firstborn, Cain, rejected God's counsel to do right and master over sin, crouching at his door. Cain refused to repent and instead did far worse, became a killer, a murderer. And so we have the first murderer and murder in Scripture. Again, this account of Cain and Abel is supported in the New Testament as the prototypes of right and wrong. Consider 1 John chapter 3. Verses 10 through 12. This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not a child of God, nor is anyone who does not love his brother. Verse 11. This is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another. Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brother's were righteous. Warren Wiersbe writes, quote, "We can't separate our relationship with God from our relationship with our brothers and sisters. That includes our natural brothers and sisters as well as our brothers and sisters in the Lord. An unforgiving spirit such as possessed Cain hinders worship and destroys our fellowship with God and God's people. It's better that we interrupt our worship and get right with a brother than to pollute our sacrifice because we have had a bad spirit within us." End of quote. Wise counsel to each of us. Let's look close at our text, beginning with Genesis chapter 4 and verse 8. "Now Cain said to his brother Abel, 'Let's go out to the field.' And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him." This was and is a most shameful act of murder, the premeditated taking of an innocent blood brother's life. Here it was, undoubtedly by the shedding of Abel's blood in a brutal attack. Blood represents life, as indicated in Leviticus chapter 17 and verse 11. If blood is removed from a living creature, it will die. Because God created life, only God should take life away. Jesus Christ took the sin of murder even to a deeper level as a warning to all. And you can look this up in Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 through 22. Jesus here is not changing the terms of Mosaic law, but rather he is correcting what they had heard. That is, the rabbinical understanding of the law. In verse 22, the term raka is an Aramaic language word for contempt. Here, contempt for a brother will be answerable to the Sanhedrin court. A commentator writes, quote, "You fool literally means empty-headed in the original Greek language." So Jesus strongly suggests that verbal abuse stems from the same sinful motives of anger and hatred that can ultimately lead to actual murder. Jesus' point is internal attitude is included in what God's law states is sin. End of quote. Therefore, from God's perspective, an abusive insult carries the same kind of moral guilt as an act of murder, which is serious. This truth is reinforced clearly by the Apostle John in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 15. So, notice just how quickly and sinister sin has become after Adam and Eve's first sin of eating a forbidden fruit. Disobedience terribly degenerated into murder. Of course, to an absolutely holy God, any and all sin is an abomination. Yet Adam and Eve acted sinfully only against God. Cain's sin multiplied by sinning against God, his parents, and his brother. We all know that anger and hatred are terribly powerful emotions that can lead to awful violence and even murder. We often hear on the national and local news of some disgruntled man, for example, fired from his job, murder many innocent co-workers. Suicide bombers, because of anger and hatred, often murder scores of innocent people. We've heard and read that only human beings murder fellow humans out of sinful motives. Carnivore animals kill to eat, to survive, not out of anger or hate. Murder is a blight on our society right here in the United States of America, which reportedly has the highest or one of the highest murder rates per capita of the Western industrialized nations. In the Midwestern states, according to a 2016 crime rates report, Missouri and St. Louis respectfully have the highest state and major city rate murder rates. Out of the 12 Midwestern states, Indiana has the third highest murder rate, Illinois is the second worst. Of the 16 southern states, Kentucky has the 12th highest murder rate. Actually, for its size, Louisville is a fairly safe city regarding violent crime. Louisiana has the highest murder rate in the South by far, worst in the nation apart from Washington, D.C. That is, according to the rates reported in 2016. Cain probably murdered Abel in his heart many times before he actually committed the gruesome deed. In Genesis chapter 4 and verse 8, notice Cain told Abel, "Let's go out to the field," indicating it was premeditated, planned murder. Also, to get Abel away and apart from his parents in order to not have their interference in what he was going to do. Cain's attitude, as expressed by his answers to God's question, speaks volumes of Cain's hard-heartedness. Genesis chapter 4 and verse 9. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Where is your brother Abel?" "I don't know," he replied. "Am I my brother's keeper?" Again, God asks Cain a rhetorical question. Where is your brother Abel? Not because God didn't know, but instead to prompt Cain to examine himself soberly and confess his heinous sin, which just continued to grow in its malignancy. "I don't know," he replied. Imagine lying to his creator God. That's not only folly and foolish, but just adding insult to injury. Then Cain added but another layer of sin in his evasive denial of responsibility. "Am I my brother's keeper?" I'm very surprised that God didn't zap Cain right on the spot. But only by God's grace, Cain certainly didn't deserve, and God's long-suffering mercy did Cain survive this sad encounter with God. We should understand that God knew every single detail of what was going to happen, since he created Adam from the dust of the ground throughout the evil legacy of Cain that he was going to live out. And of course, beyond into eternity, such is our God's mind-boggling omniscience. Indeed, notice how short a time it took for the firstborn of Adam and Eve to theoretically and experientially know about evil as a terrible consequence of Cain's parents' first sin. John MacArthur writes, quote, "Am I my brother's keeper?" was Cain's sarcasm and a play on words based on the fact that Abel was a keeper of sheep. Lying was the third sin resulting from Cain's attitude of indifference to God's commands. Sin was ruling over him. End of quote. Obviously, Cain had a hard, callous indifference toward God, his parents, and his brother. Cain was his brother's keeper, in that he was older and in a sense had a responsibility to honor and protect him, certainly not to despise and murder him. Cain became a seed or offspring of the serpent, Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. Cain, like his parents before him, tried to avoid admitting his guilt. In the original Hebrew, keeper means guardian. Instead of being a guardian, he murdered his brother. The terrible consequences of sin became worse and worse, indicating a fallen, distorted world. Cain actually goes deeper into sin than his parents, who eventually admitted they had disobeyed and eaten of the forbidden fruit. Yet Cain stubbornly refused to acknowledge the sin he had committed when directly confronted with it. That is incredible hard-heartedness, unrepentance, and even having the audacity to think that he could cover up his sin from an all-knowing God. The escalation of evil was in full swing downward. The violence which ever increases begins here until it is temporarily wiped off the face of the earth during the global flood. Most sadly, I've heard, perhaps you have also heard the phrase, "Am I my brother's keeper?" today by calloused, hard-hearted human beings that probably don't even know who and in what terrible circumstances this adage was first used. So very sad. It certainly sorrowed our God's heart, except that he already had a remedy, a redeemer in his plan to save those who would become his children through obedient faith. God answered Cain's pitiful evasions. Genesis chapter 4 and verse 10. The Lord said, "What have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground." Adam and Eve had hid themselves. They heard God in the garden, but here God stated figuratively that your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. So Cain could not hide. Warren Wiersbe writes, quote, "The shedding of innocent blood pollutes the land," Numbers chapter 35, verses 30 through 34. "And that blood cries out for justice," Job chapter 16 and verse 18, and Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 21, Revelation chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. Adam and Eve were expelled from the garden, and Cain became a rejected wanderer on the earth. The more you think about Cain's sin, the more heinous it becomes. The murderer wasn't motivated by sudden passion. It was carefully premeditated. Cain didn't kill a stranger in defense. He murdered his own brother out of envy and hate. Furthermore, Cain did it after being at the altar of worship to God in spite of God's warning and promise, end of quote. So Abel's blood is pictured as crying out to God for vengeance. The Hebrew word for cry is used in other contexts as a desperate cry of men without food. For example, in Genesis chapter 41 and verse 55. Or a cry expecting to die in Exodus chapter 14 and verse 10. Or a cry because of being oppressed by their enemies in Judges chapter 4 and verse 3. Therefore, it is a desperate cry. We should know that God does hear His people's desperate cries for help. Abel's life becomes but a vapor because of Cain's violence. Such violence stains the human race. Any society of man that lives by violence will be severely judged by God. Over millennia, violent empires have lived by bloodshed and have been ground into the dust of history. So God lays down a well-deserved curse on Cain. Genesis chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. Now you are under a curse and driven from the ground, which opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it will no longer yield its crop for you. You will be a restless wanderer on the earth. God severely punished Cain uniquely as a farmer of the soil for his multiple sins without any repentance whatsoever. God judges all sins and punishes appropriately, not out of retribution, but desiring our repentance and restoration. God knew in Cain's case he would remain hard-hearted. No longer could Cain pursue his chosen vocation of farming the ground for crops in a located place. Instead, the ground would not yield its crops for him, and he would become a nomad on the earth. In a sense, Cain's punishment had a measure of God's grace. Cain desired immediate physical death, but God spared his life temporarily. Being the first man born of woman, God's plan was that Cain would eventually marry and have children to fill the earth as God had commanded. For Adam, the ground was cursed, making it difficult by toil and sweat. He would get crops. But for Cain, his curse was greater. His getting crops would be impossible. The ground was designed by God to receive the seeds of the plants to produce food. Cain had used the ground to hide the body and the blood of Abel by his violence. Adam and Eve hid their nakedness. Cain tried to hide his violence. Warren Wiersbe writes, quote, "A vagabond has no home. A fugitive is running from home. A stranger is away from home, but a pilgrim is heading home." Cain made the wrong, tragic choice, and instead of being a pilgrim in life, he became a stranger and a fugitive, wandering the land. Jehovah has cursed the serpent, Genesis chapter 3 and verse 14, and the ground, Genesis chapter 3 and verse 17. But he had not directly cursed Adam and Eve. However, he did curse their son Cain, who was a child of the devil, the serpent, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 12. Cain had defiled the ground with his brother's blood, and now the ground wouldn't work for him. All Cain could do was to wander from place to place to eke out a living, end of quote. So Cain had to wander even to get food to survive. So we come to Cain's outcry to God, Genesis chapter 3, verses 13 through 14. Cain said to the Lord, "My punishment is more than I can bear. Today you are driving me from the land, and I will be hidden from your presence. I will be a restless wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me." Notice still no godly sorrow for his sins, no repentance, only complaints to God for the curse and the consequences of his evil, worried that eventually someone would find him and kill him. We should understand that Adam and Eve were having many more sons and daughters than are named in the Genesis account, according to Genesis chapter 5 and verse 5. Adam lived 930 years. Cain's guilt and fear from the consequences of killing his brother were heavy. He probably feared extended family revenge. If he was capable of killing, certainly some of them would also be able to kill. "Whoever finds me will kill me" suggests that the population on earth had already increased. Also, when Cain murdered Abel, it needed not to have been real soon after their first offerings to the Lord. Since Cain had been subjected to being a wanderer and probably in large measure a hunter, gatherer, and scavenger in an agrarian world, Cain would have been easy prey for those who wanted his death. Adam and Eve were expelled from the Garden of Eden and so were removed a distance from God's fellowship presence, who used to have direct fellowship with them. However, in Cain's case, he was completely expelled from God's presence. This Cain himself recognized. Note in verse 14, "I will be hidden from your presence." So Cain, true to his pathetic attitude and character, only evidences selfishness and self-pity. Cain has no redeeming qualities revealed in Scripture. None. Just like Christ's evaluation of the church in Laodicea. No compliments, only condemnations. A commentator gives his thoughts as to the question as to who would kill Cain. Quote, "Exactly who the people are whom Cain fears will kill him has been the source of much inventive exegesis, which means critical explanation or analysis. The text as we have it shows no interest in the question. It merely presumes that other people are present without explaining how that came about. Part of the responsibility of reading the Scriptures faithfully is to recognize what Scripture regards as important and to focus on those questions and not our idle curiosities. The early chapters of Genesis are not an attempt to answer every curious question which might arise, but to focus on the meaning and theology of the pre-Abrahamic world." End of quote. So the Lord God answers Cain's complaints. Genesis chapter 4 and verse 15. "But the Lord said to him, Not so. If anyone kills Cain, he will suffer vengeance seven times over. Then the Lord put a mark on Cain so that no one who found him would kill him." God in effect promises Cain he would not die by the hand of a killer as he was. The expression "will suffer vengeance seven times over" means that the person's punishment would be complete, thorough, and much, much worse than that received by Cain for his sin. Perhaps God decided to at least temporarily contain the outbreak of violence while the earth was being first populated. As to the mark on Cain, one commentator writes, quote, "Just as it did not matter, since Scripture is silent, where God got the animal skin or what it looked like for Adam and Eve, it is of little importance what the sign or mark is like or how it functions. In both cases, the importance of the gift is in the one who gave it, God in His grace." End of quote. When I often heard in other congregations in the Deep South, there is the prevailing theory for some that Cain's mark given by God was making him black. I pointed out that that is an impossible possibility. Why? Because then presumably at least some of his descendants would have also been black. Later comes the global flood of Noah's day, and certainly neither Noah nor his family would have been descendants of Cain, but instead descendants of Seth's godly line. So since everybody perished on the earth except eight souls, Noah and his family, how do you account for black people today? Moreover, God would never curse an entire portion of the human race with a cursed mark of black skin because of the sin of one evil man. The answer refuting their black race curse did not win me any friends and probably diminished some attitudes toward me. Regardless, truth is truth. Another commentator states that the curse put on Cain was simply to be banished from God's presence and become a wanderer, and that that is the mark, or that was the mark. Another commentator writes, quote, "The mark of Cain may not be anything on his person. The Hebrew word for mark is often to be translated as sign. If understood in this way, we should perhaps translate, the Lord made a sign for Cain. That sign is the city which Cain was building, according to Genesis chapter 4 and verse 17. This suggests that the Israelites to whom this was originally written would understand this as a sort of prototype of the later cities of refuge, Numbers chapter 35. These were cities where someone who had killed someone might flee to avoid revenge killings, end of quote. John MacArthur writes, quote, "While the mark is not described here, it involves some sort of mark that was made under divine protection, which was mercifully given Cain by God. At the same time, the mark that saved him was also the lifelong sign of his shame." Genesis chapter 4 and verse 16. So Cain went out from the Lord's presence and lived in the land of Nod, east of Eden. Nod means wandering. Its location is unknown except being east of Eden, and nobody knows the exact location of Eden either. When human beings move to the east in these chapters, it not only signifies geography, but also signifies figuratively that they move further and further from God.
God's word is old, but it's still true and important today. As we always teach, forgiveness is found in Jesus and only in Him. We encourage you to believe in Jesus and accept Him as Savior and Lord of your life. This faith will lead you to obedience in following Jesus. You may have a free CD of this and next week's program by asking for broadcast number 2121. That's broadcast 2121. It is our blessing to tell you that Words of Life is an international program heard on a variety of stations throughout the world. Our mailing address is Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Let me repeat that. Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Please let us know the call letters of this radio station when you write. Our email address is wol1radio@gmail.com. That's wol1radio@gmail.com. You can listen to Words of Life programs anytime you want by logging on to our website at wordsofliferadio.net. That's wordsofliferadio.net. Our newsletter is also available on this page. This is Wayne Hobbs inviting you to tune in again next week for another program from Words of Life. Sing now.